Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ray Fournier calling about an interview.
Hi, Ray. This is Adrienne Berg. I'll be doing the interview with you. And we're not on the air yet, but we'll just take a minute to discuss it. Just want to make sure I'm saying your last name correctly. Say it again for me.
Fournier.
Fournier with an F?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fournier. All right. Very good. So I have a press release here from, folks from the Oneida Nation. Am I saying that correctly? Oneida Nation?
Yes, Oneida is correct.
Great. And it's very impressive. So, of course, this is a show to inspire people to age successfully. And, boy, do you sound like you're doing that. And we're going to talk about your accomplishments in terms of the powerlifting. What is powerlifting? How'd you get into it? A little bit about what the Oneida Nation is, its location, and its missions. Is there anything else that you particularly want to cover?
I think that generally, just looking at your website, that kind of fits in line very closely with what I'm doing, and if we could just emphasize that, that'd be great. I'd like to be able to address those people that are coming up upon retirement and hopefully give them some inspiration to continue to work hard and not be a couch potato.
Great. So you hold one second. I want to get a pen. I'm from Brooklyn, and I tend to not pronounce interesting names well. I just want to make sure I have it. I'm going to do it phonetically for myself. And when did you, do you still teach, or did you retire from teaching completely?
Yes, I did retire, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Oneida Nation, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, we got that one. And say your name, and I want to spell it out for myself phonetically.
Fournier. I don't know, maybe Fournay. I know some people do it that way. Fournier.
Okay, we are ready to go. Now, what happens is you're going to hear a little music, and then you're going to hear me introduce the show for the day. And then I'm going to introduce you, okay?
Okay,
so,
sure.
That's great. By the way, just as a matter of connection, my daughter-in-law, Arden, and she is 28 now, and she is a competitive power lifter.
Really?
So,
that's great.
Yeah, so I know a few things about powerlifting. Can't do any of them. But myself personally, I do weights was my introduction to good health. Not the traditional kind of exercise weights, but it's very, very important. So I know a little bit, enough to be dangerous when I talk to you, okay? So we're
sure.
Ready to go.
Great.
Stu, we're all ready to rock and roll, no problem. How many minutes is the first segment?
Sorry?
How many minutes is the first?
First segment is
11. Oh. So I'll just tell you, the first segment is 11 minutes, and toward the end they start to play the music again, but I have a clock here. I usually stop you from talking, and I talk on the music. If you hear it and you're still talking, wrap up the sentence, but we can pad down the music so they'll still hear what you had to say. Okay? All right, Stuart, we are going. Yep, 10 seconds of silence.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Yeah, well, that may be because he's in denial, but it may also be because he just looks good, feels good, even though he is a person of a certain age. And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg. Same thing that I say every single week for the past 3 years. This is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're talking about the truth about aging because there are a lot of untruths about there. And they could get you down. They could make you into what our next guest calls a couch potato. He's certainly not one of them. You know, we always bring the most interesting folks, the most inspiring folks, in many different ways, many different arenas. But today we have Ray Fournier. And he is a power lifter. Now, he wasn't always a power lifter. He didn't start that until he was in his 70s. And not only is he a power lifter, and you're going to find out exactly what that means in a minute, but he's a winner as a power lifter. He's a member of the Oneida Indian Nation. He was brought up on at the Oneida Indian Reservation in central New York State. He set 4 world records at the 2017 Amateur Athletic Union. North American powerlifting, weightlifting, feats of strength, strongman, and Maz Wrestling Championships. We're going to hear how he does it, and maybe, even though you don't become a powerlifter, and maybe you will, it'll get you off the couch, right? So, Ray, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Adrienne. Glad to be here.
All right, so we have to unpack a couple of things here. I think people know what weightlifting is. They maybe do it even in the gym, but they're not quite sure. What is powerlifting?
Powerlifting is an event where we have 3 lifts that we compete in, the squat, the bench press, and the deadlift. And you get 3 attempts at each lift, and your best attempt is recorded, and, of course, that's how you competitively win the event.
Now let's just talk about how old are you now. If you'll tell, I'll tell.
Okay, I'm 74.
You're 74. I'll be 69 in September. So now we got that cleared. The 800-pound elephant in the room. But speaking about 800 pounds, how much have you lifted in pounds?
The total lift, the total that you get is from the combination of the squat, bench, and deadlift. And in the squat, I've done 318, and the bench, I've done 210, and in the deadlift, I've done 417.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
So just over 900 pounds total.
Whoa. All right. So anybody who has maybe just lifted some weights and they're struggling with their 15 pounds there, or they've done some bench presses, my whole life I got up to 72 pounds, and they thought that was a miracle. So we're talking 400 pounds and change. All right, for us ordinary mortals, how did this happen? How did you go from you're a professor, right? You went from being a professor to doing this. What was that transition about?
Well, it really wasn't a transition for me. Before I was a professor, I was involved in sports with coaching and what have you. I did teach in high school and middle school and was an administrator. And so I was involved with sports when I was a kid. But one of the things that I wanted to do when I was in my late teens, early 20s, was I wanted to go to the Olympics as a weightlifter. But never happened that, you know, the thing is you go on with life and do what you have to do. And it didn't work out at that time. But here I am. And I never planned on being a weightlifter at 70 years old. There was no way that I planned on doing that. But what I did is I continued to stay in shape and work out on a regular basis. But when I retired early at 62, and the reason that I did that was I saw what happened to my mother and father when they retired. My father retired at 65, and he just came out with an illness, and he was sick for about a year and died at 66. He had a lot of plans for his retirement, but never materialized. My mother, on the other hand, she became a diabetic in her 40s, and by the time she retired, she was really suffering some of the ill effects of having diabetes for that period of time. When she retired at 65, she lived until she was 72, and for most of that time, she suffered from the effects of diabetes. And hopefully I learned from that situation. I retired early at 62, and I committed myself to staying in shape and not having the same kinds of problems that my parents did. It was just tough to see them go through that, and I wanted to have something different for me and for my children. So
we're going to talk a little bit about what this does to your body and how you can protect yourself too, because this is something that we can relate to, even if we just want to go to the gym. But what it sounds like to me is a really important pattern that is hardly ever brought up in regard to aging. And also, we never talk about it, even on this show. And it's a great line which says, you're never too old to be who you could have been. And this is something you want to do. You wanted to compete in the Olympics when you were younger. And it never occurred to you that at age 70, it could happen to you, and now at age 74. Because you're never too old to be who you could have been, and now you are who you wanted to be. But it was motivated by something. It was motivated by seeing what decline can really look like. And sometimes you have to get jolted out of that. And we're, you know, as we're aging, the people listening to this show, even though aging starts at age 30, Ray, most people listening to this show are 50 plus, 60 plus, even more. And they think that's it. They think that there's no change that can happen in their life. And look at a major change of what did happen to you, but you were very motivated by it. However, I do have to ask this to be realistic. You did say that you were pretty good shape, and that you're always a sports guy and even a mentor. Do you think people could actually pick up something as strenuous as this if they have been couch potatoes, or you really need to have had a life of some, at least, exercise and muscle tone?
Well, I think that people, you know, as they get into their 50s and 60s, and, you know, when you're supposedly over the hill, when you get to that point, if, you know, you haven't really been involved with exercise very much, I think it's a little more difficult for you to do that, but I it can be done. There's no question about it. I retired at 62. I picked up powerlifting at 70 when I turned 70, and I started out at a certain point, and I've continued to move continually upward in my weight totals and what I've been doing. So. No, I don't think it's impossible to do that. I think it's very possible, but I think that for people that have not stayed in shape for a period of time, that it needs to be a slow process, and you need to be in contact with your doctor to make sure that you can do some of the things that are required. But no, I don't think it's impossible. I think it's very possible, and I think I'm proof of that you can do it. I've tried to stay in shape throughout my life, and I made that commitment when I retired that, and retiring early, I was going to commit myself to staying in shape. But again, I did that for 7 years before I got into competitive weightlifting. So I think it's very possible. Yes, I think people can do that.
So, you know, what I'm hoping people will do with this segment of our show is think of it as a metaphor. It may not be powerlifting. For very few people listening, it's going to be that. It may very well be looking better. It may very well be being stronger. I know for me, the fact that I can lift weights is very important. Frankly, it makes me look better, feel better, stride better. It may be that when I started to walk, I couldn't do even 3 miles. And last week, with my walking group, we just did 34 miles in one day.
Wow.
Now, I didn't do 34. Nice. Yeah, but I did 27. Mm-hmm. 27 mm-hmm. miles is pretty good. Plus, a lot of it was uphill. But this is what I want to tell you. You have time to improve incrementally. Whether or not you want to write a memoir, whether you want to become a powerlifter, or you want to learn the piano, which you always dreamed about, you're simply never too old to be who you could have been. And that is something that nobody ever says. And here we have Ray Fournier, who's living proof. Now, when we come back, I'm going to ask him a couple of questions. One of them is, how does he protect his back? Very serious issue for most of us in many ways. And here's a guy who really has to literally watch his back. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so this is perfect. They're going to put in a commercial while we're talking. We're not on the air. How many minutes will we have next? We have 9 minutes next, okay? So I do want to talk about your back. I mean, I'm always watching these guys, and they've got these big belts on in the gym and all that. Do you have any hints and tips for people in general about that?
Yes, the belt is... very effective and necessary to protect your back. Some of the most important things with powerlifting in terms of protecting your back or any part of your body is that you need correct form.
Okay.
And
we have to go. You're going to get a chance to answer all this. I'm just watching my producer. So I just want to tell you, I'm going to ask about that. I'm going to ask about the Oneida Nation. Is it okay for me to ask you what it's like growing up?
No, sure.
In that particular way, because I'm fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I have a lot of other questions, all of which you'll be able to answer. But I just want to make sure that there's nothing you'd like me to ask you that I'm missing.
No, I think we're okay.
Okay, hold one second.
Sure.
Stu, we have really a lot to talk about. If he can hold over, can? Oh, I have a question. Another question. Do you have time after this section to do, let's say, another 8 minutes? Because
sure.
You were supposed to be off only in half an hour, but this is going very well. I don't know if your schedule permits another 8 minutes after we're finished with this first one. Is that
well,
possible?
When I finish, I'm going into my workout, so that's all right.
So it's all right. That's very funny.
Sure.
Can I tell them that you said that? That's very funny.
Sure.
Okay, so we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we have a real poster boy for successful aging with us right now. His name is Ray Fournier, and he is a powerlifter. He wasn't always a powerlifter. He's a professor over, I think it's Cornell. Am I right about that, Ray?
That's correct. Where
you taught? Yep. And we're going to talk in a few minutes about the Oneida Nation. Now, he was born and raised in the Oneida Indian Nation. It's a federally recognized Indian nation in central New York. And we're going to see what that means and what it feels like to grow up that way. We all have our childhood stories, and he certainly has a unique one. But he has a second unique story, and that is that he is a powerlifter, didn't become a powerlifter until he was 70 years old, is now 74, and a champion for world records at the 2017 Amateur Athletic Union. And that includes powerlifting, weightlifting, feats of strength, strongman, and mass wrestling championships. So for us mere mortals, Ray, I ask this question. How do you protect your back? seriously, your physical back, because this is very difficult on your body. And is there anything that people who are simply going to the gym can take? Because that happens. I will tell you, and everybody listening has experienced this. You go to the gym, you're doing okay, and then something happens. You pull a leg muscle, a back muscle, and your doctor tells you, because they think you're old, oh, you can't do any more, nothing for another month. By the time that month is over, you've gained 5 pounds, you've lost the momentum to go to the gym, and all your good work is gone. So if you can protect yourself and not have that happen in the first place, it's useful. So how do you do it? Because this is such a big part of your life.
Well, the back is important, and so are the knees, especially in powerlifting, because you're doing squats where you're taking and you're putting your butt almost onto the floor when you squat down. So the knees can take a tremendous amount of strain as well. But the same thing applies for both. If you're going to be doing deadlifting, squats, or bench press, form is very critical. You need to use proper form so that you don't put undue stress on certain parts of your back. Your back muscles are kind of small compared to the muscles that you want to use for instance, for the deadlift and the squat. The muscles that you want to use are the glutes, which are the largest muscles in your body, your hamstrings and your quads, and also your core. Your cores are very important. So you want to keep the stress away from your back muscles and your vertebrae, so that if you can keep your back in a neutral position when you're going through the lift, that's going to be critical in terms of avoiding injury. The second thing is that you need a belt, and you need a belt that's going to protect especially your lower back. And also that breathing is very important when you do it. If you ever watch powerlifting, you'll see that powerlifters will always take a very deep breath before they do the lift. And the purpose of that is to get your core filled with air, so that you're holding your spine in a neutral position, and you're putting a force against that belt that's around your lower back. You're breathing with your stomach, actually breathing in with your stomach, the lower part of your body, and putting force against that belt so that it holds tight and prevents your spine from caving in when you're under heavy stress. So and with the back, it's the belt, it's the breathing, and it's the form that you use that protects your back from being injured. And
you're talking, Ray, I'm already feeling a pain in my back. It's like, if you can see me, guys, it's not TV, it's radio, but there's like a grimace on my face, and I'm trying to grip and lift, and already my back is hurting. but what I'm hearing is that this is part of a science, in the sense of self-protection. No falling. You talk about not falling, but here, back and knees are so important, and the careful understanding of what muscles we have. You know, get yourself a chart. Go to the computer and see the muscles that you're using. And if you go to a regular gym, you might end up with an issue, for example, like the machines, and they always give you a little picture on it. And in the picture, the muscles that you're going to be using when you're working with a weight machine is in red. And you should know what those muscles are and all about, because we ignore that. We sit down, and we're so happy that we took ourselves to the gym in the first place that we just simply go ahead and run into it. Also, we're very busy, so you want to do things quickly. And here we're talking to somebody who knows, because his entire future as a powerlifter is going to be based on his ability to continue to do that. So listen to what he is saying. Breathing properly, understanding where the muscles are, taking deliberate motion, wearing a belt if you're planning to do any kind of lifting, whether it's competitive or not. These are important things. But, Ray, I don't want to miss this fascinating part of your life. The Oneida Indian Nation. Now, I'm from New York State, and I don't know what is Central New York and the life of the Oneida Indian Nation. I do know a great deal about it in the West. And, in fact, I've had the privilege in Alaska to be at an Olympics, and that was the Indigenous People Olympics. They didn't have a powerlifting. They had different kinds of Native games. And the first peoples of Canada were there and many others. So I understand the fascination of the culture. But what is it like to be just a regular kid growing up that way? Is there really any difference? Are you very isolated? Or, you know, it's just like I grew up in Brooklyn and you grew up in the Oneida Indian Nation.
First of all, the Oneida Indian Nation is a very small group of people from, in terms of tribal numbers, we're probably about 1,000 in New York State. And that may be high in terms of that. But for the most part, the Oneida Indian Nation was 32 acres, which was left of 6 million acres of land that the United States occupied prior to the European exploration. So the territory shrunk considerably. We certainly did not have a very cohesive group in New York State at the time. It's better now because we've improved a lot of things in New York. But as a kid, you grew up really in communities of white people, non-Native people, because there weren't a lot of Native people around, and we were pretty much assimilated into the general population. So I went to school with, I was, when my family was the only Indian family in the...
I'm so fascinated by this. We're taking a little commercial break. We'll be back in just a moment. I will tell you about Oneida Nation. And it has its own website. And you can gamble there, too. We'll be right back. I was so taken with what you were telling me, but don't worry, we'll pad down the music a little bit. So I'm just going to hold you over for a couple of minutes because I do want to wrap up what we're doing. Is that okay? You said that you're only going to the gym next, so hold again. Now hold 1 second.
Okay. Sure.
But Stu? Okay, so Ray, let me tell you how we're going to do this. 1 sec. See, I generally don't hold folks over, but I do want to now. Hold 1 second.
Sure.
Ray, stay with us.
Sure.
Astrid, I'm ready.
Okay, good. So, what should I tell him? Hang on, and then we'll get to him. I'm going to put him on the air live. We'll wait to...
Absolutely. Ray, on this one, we're just going to have a couple of minutes that I want to wrap up about the nation, and I will give them the website in case they want to see some of the interesting things that are happening over there. Okay?
Sure.
Hold on 1 second.
10 seconds, Ray.
See, the water bottle is synonymous with good health. So all these people running with water bottles, which I think is stupid. But
you may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
Don't you preen yourself.
For my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. So we are wrapping up with Ray Fournier, who is a powerlifter. He is 74 years old. He grew up and is a member of the Oneida Indian Nation. And I just want to tell you that the Oneida Indian Nation, as you may think in modern times, actually does run Turning Stone Resort Casino. It's beautiful. Yellow Brick Road Casino has chains of gas stations. They're doing whatever they can in a modern world to build up their economy. And it's certainly Ray is a flag bearer. I mean, he is somebody who I know they're very proud of. So I do want to give you one, if you're interested in any of these things and learning more about their incredible history, their Civil War history, their American independence history, take a look at OneidaIndianNation.com. That's O-N-E-I-D-A, IndianNation.com. So, Ray, to wrap up, in your childhood, you were, as you use the word assimilated, it's your word, because of the small number of people in your community and the small amount of land that they had left after, we'll say, the takeover. I guess there are all kinds of views and thoughts. But now, let's wrap up with what I think could be extremely inspirational. You're teaching the culture. You're living the culture, and you're also being a flag bearer, as I say, for powerlifting and doing what you want to do after the age of 70 and what you love. Do you think that there's been an influence from your family, not just the fact that they didn't do well when they were older, but the entire inspiration from your culture to be able to get out there and do something on your own? It's almost like being a stand-up comic. When you are a powerlifter, you're there by yourself. This is not a team sport in that sense. Is there something from your culture that inspired you to be able to do this?
Absolutely. There are. Growing up, it was a different experience than you're the normal kid in Central New York, and the Indian culture is. Really noted as being non-competitive, but in sports it's very competitive, and I think that my family, I know my brothers and sister were very competitive, and I think that that very much had an influence on what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be. My major efforts were in the educational field, and then obviously turned to I was involved in sports, but turned to this powerlifting later in age.
So, as I said before, you're never too old to be who you could have been, and we're hearing that right now from somebody who is the poster boy for such a thing. And although it's sad, we have to say goodbye. We're going to speak to a guest who's going to help people, Ray, become more fit and be able to get through their own personal training, the walks that I talk about, so they stay hydrated and well. So we thank you so much, Ray, for being with us, and I just want to give everybody that website one more time. It's Oneida, and that is O-N-E-I-D-A, IndianNation.com. Good luck on the next meet, Ray.
Okay, and could I say one final word?
Sure.
I would like to say to anyone that's listening that you know, we as human beings are made to move, where we got to keep moving in our lives. And whatever you do, it doesn't have to be powerlifting. It could be anything from taking a brisk walk to powerlifting, baseball, or whatever. But the important thing is to keep active in your older age.
Fantastic. And that is true. Just keep moving. Thank you so much, Ray. Now, this is unusual because I asked Ray to stay on for a moment. You'll have to hang up. I don't, because I'm going to speak to my next guest, and he is Dr. Eduardo Dolan. So you heard those wonderful words from Ray. But There are things that we have to talk about to take care of our body. And in my personal life, one of them is hydration. And you may think, oh, hydration, I'm going to sleep now. Let me tell you something. I have been in the hospital more than once from passing out because I was dehydrated. And that's a problem. For somebody like myself whose sport, let's say, is long-distance walking, sometimes in the heat, and I never understood what was going on. And there are actual things you can simply put in your water, they even taste good, that can save your life. So let's talk about that. Now, hopefully we have everything is working out well. Dr. Eduardo, are you on?
I am.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, and thank you for your patience. So I want to get right into this because this has been a big thing in my life. I know that you have a solution for the problem, which I use. And I'll tell everybody what it is, and then we want to get into what this problem is. It's called Drip Drop, and it's really a very interesting thing. You can go on the web even while I'm talking. You can look at dripdrop.com. It's a very cute name. You can get it anywhere. You can get it in Walgreens or wherever you want. You throw it in your purse or your bag. I do not go out without it because it's a rehydration solution for electrolytes and some. It could be a sports drink like we were just talking about with Ray. It could be simply because you need a little bit of electrolytes so that you don't pass out in the heat while you're doing your thing. But I have never understood the importance of hydration. So, doctor, can you just explain that to us, why this is such a serious thing if you let yourself get dehydrated?
Yeah, absolutely. This has been a very, very big theme in my practice as a family physician. And the reason hydration is so important is that each and every one of our cells is bathed in salt water. And maintaining that balance is critical not only to life, but also to optimal function. And when it goes askew due to oversweating, overworking, whatever causes dehydration, we can get into trouble.
And this trouble, by the way, can cause you to pass out because it's happened to me. But what I've never also understood, I know Drip Drop has tried to solve this by having certain ingredients. It's not just salt, is it? Because it's been other things, too, potassiums and sugars and other things that you miss. And is it simply from sweating that this leaves your body?
Yeah, these are really good questions. And, you know, it's not just you who's passed out, but, you know, athletes can pass out on the football field. And I've had some of my senior patients pass out at home, and it can be a big deal in terms of breaking a wrist or breaking a femur. I remember when I was developing Drip Drop years ago, I saw President Bush pass out, and then, you know, Hillary Clinton passed out on the trail. So it's not just sweating, but maybe traveling, being up in a plane is very can be very dehydrating. So what's in Drip Drop is really, I would say, medical grade, clinical grade, professional grade levels, if you will, of these electrolytes, salt, potassium, magnesium. And they're so good when you get them in the right proportions that in most cases, a true oral rehydration solution outperforms an IV. But the key is getting enough of the electrolytes in the body with a little bit of sugar to power it.
So let's talk about that word enough. We have about a minute, and then we'll have plenty of time in our next segment. Can you take too much? Can you put too much in water? And if so, is there any side effects?
That's a great question. It comes up from time to time. And the answer is no. There's much more salt in chicken soup, for example, and much more sugar in a scoop of ice cream. The beauty of Drip Drop is that it has just enough, but not too much of all these ingredients, which has actually been described for over 50 years. And the breakthrough with Drip Drop is that we've made it all taste good, because taste has been a very big barrier to getting patients to use medical grade levels of these electrolytes, medical grade hydration solutions.
Yeah, I will also say the other breakthrough is portability. What I use it for is that, you know, walking is my life. People know that my sports ability is very poor. I have lousy hand-eye coordination. You won't find me on the tennis court, but you will find me walking 20 and 30 miles in a day with groups that do this. And I couldn't. I absolutely could not do it without something like a drip drop. And I do carry it. It's very, very portable. So you can imagine that I want to travel light in what I do. And this is absolutely takes no effect. It's only the water that actually weighs anything. This thing is a blessing. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about it. Because I also think probably hydration and being diagnosed a lot. And all you need is a little bit of powder. So we should be right back.
Admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
The commercial.
Okay, so now that we're going into a commercial, we can talk a little bit about... So I did want to talk a bit about the taste and the idea of the flavors. I also want to talk a little bit about the fact that these symptoms are so severe that I think they can easily get misdiagnosed into some blown-up big problem. And then you go on one of those journeys from one doctor to another. Whereas, really, it's just a hydration problem. Have you seen that, I mean, in your practice? We're not on the air. I'm just asking you that question right now.
Oh, for sure. And actually, I mean, you know, years before, I mean, I've had different motivations when I was volunteering. I mean, I've seen little children die from dehydration. And, my mom, who... when she passed away from cancer, and she would get dehydrated, and just to get the energy involved in getting her to the emergency room, get a simple IV, just salty water in her veins was just immense. So I've had these personal motivations to say we can do better than this. We can do better.
So we're going to certainly start with that, and I want to make sure. Is there anything that you particularly want me to bring out other than the way we're talking? Because as you know, as you can tell, this is a personal issue for me.
Basically, I think you're hitting all the touch points in that it becomes a bigger issue as we get older, for sure. It affects.
All right. I got plenty to talk about here because my life turned around. But I will ask this, it was still off the air. You started by using a salt pill. That was horrible, but at least it kept me alive. It was just salt in a pill. That was all it was. Then I went to these round tablets that you can get in a sports store. They have different, many companies. And then I was sent drip drops, and I used them, and I've just recently used them all the way down the Amalfi Coast on a 100-mile walking tour. And if you know the Amalfi Coast, it's straight up. It's hot. So that I found that to be a lifesaver. But I don't know the difference, honestly, between the drip drop, other than the taste, and the ones I get in the store, the walking stores or the skiing stores. They're kind of round tablets. But other than taste, is there some, and vitamin C also you have. Is there anything else that's a differentiator?
Yeah, there's a major difference between, the sport drinks and drip drop. And drip drop, in my mind, is clearly an oral rehydration solution as sort of it's been defined over 50 years by the World Health Organization.
Okay, since we have to go back, I'm going to ask you this on the air as my second question so that people understand the difference, so they don't get misled, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we are good. Wait, tell us how many minutes we have now. We have 8 minutes, which is a long time, which is good, and then I'll be... Mm-hmm. Wait, we're ending the show then, right?
That's you.
We're quiet. We're good.
I think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit, I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, please go to our website. People have been asking about past shows, because other folks have been telling them about it. Did you hear this doctor? Did you hear about this solution, this travel venue? We record all of our shows, and they are there archived on our website, which is generationboldradio.com. Now, today we've been devoting our website our show to kind of getting on with it. One, of course, we spoke to a powerlifter who's 74 years old and made a huge transition in his life. Now we're speaking with Dr. Eduardo Dolan, who is the founder, we'll say, and the developer of Drip Drop ORS. And if you don't know what ORS stands for, well, you know, that is an oral rehydration solution. And it's something that I take. Now, remember, folks, this is not an ad. I have no money at stake here. They don't pay to be on. I just think it's a great product, and it's part of my life. And I felt that in talking about exercise, I couldn't do that without also talking about the issues of poor hydration. So let's go back to you, Doctor. One of the things we were saying during our break was that the symptoms of dehydration are so severe that they're hard to diagnose. People get all kinds of crazy diagnoses. I did. I went from doctor to doctor until somebody just told me, hey, you need rehydration, and then this was so useful. But explain your journey and the symptoms you saw, and why it was so important for you to develop this.
Sure, I'm happy to. It's really interesting, and I think you touch on some really important points, and that is that these symptoms are universal and at various levels and can, at any time, affect all of us. In my journey, I began to see that there's a huge difference between the consumer products, so the sports drinks, the coconut waters, all the stuff that's out there, and then an ORS, a true medical product used for rehydration for over 50 years. And I said to myself, everybody knows about IVs. All, you know, I got trained really, really well in using an IV. But then when I went out into the world and opened up my practice, I said, holy moly, it's really difficult to find to rehydrate my patients, because the sports drinks don't have enough electrolytes, they have way too much sugar, and if they have some electrolytes, they don't have enough magnesium or potassium. So it was a really confusing scenario. It was difficult for me as a doctor to tell my patient to go and get this simple solution. So what I found was the reason ORS is not used more often, why doctors aren't aware of it for their patients outside the hospital, is that it's just traditionally tasted really, really bad. I mean, it's very salty, because the key to hydration, rehydration, is salt. IVs are loaded with salt. And so how do you pack enough salt, all right, the sodium with potassium and magnesium to truly rehydrate a patient, putting in a little bit of sugar, a little bit of sugar drives the system faster, so you rehydrate faster and give the body energy it needs to recover and make it taste good. That was the design challenge that I saw about 10 years ago. And out of that work came Drip Drop.
And I think people have to have an awareness. I have been on many walks where people tell me, and it's a group, so we're very protective of each other, they feel faint. And they don't know why. And they sit down, and they're about to keel over, and we are in the middle of nowhere half the time. We do a lot of our walks in other countries once a year. It could be Nepal, and you don't want to pass out in Nepal. And I give them a little bit of a rehydration, and it's like a new person. They just pop up, and they're in the front of the group. And that is how severe the issue is and how easy it is to fix. And people don't know that that's the case. And we did cover a little bit before that it's not even an opportunity to overdo it. You really can't overdo it, although I guess you can overdo anything. But your body wouldn't want so much water, so that would be fine, or so much rehydration. Now, you did mention to me, again, off air, that you had seen some tragedies when it came to kids. And I wanted you to talk about that and raise our consciousness a little bit about that, because we have grandchildren, and we don't think of it only as a problem in older age.
Yeah, I really want to touch on what motivated me, but I'd like to go back to what you said. You said something about overdoing it. And the interesting thing is, like, on my way to my office this morning, I see people just drinking water. And the big problem that I see is not so much the volume, the quantity of water, which you said earlier in the show is really heavy. It's actually the low sodium. So when we're drinking lots of water, these sports drinks that don't have enough salt, we're actually stressing our body. So one of the reasons you have this feeling of, wow, it's really magical, it's making me feel better almost instantly, is that you're increasing the levels of salt in your blood, so your body doesn't have to take it from the bones where salt is stored. So that fundamental understanding was key for me, which I didn't appreciate as a medical student till I began doing the research, is that our bones are essentially salt reservoirs. So when I was a medical student at the Mayo Clinic, I took a trip to volunteer in Guatemala. I found myself in the jungles and the mountains there, and the village had been stricken with cholera. Cholera is the single best way to get dehydrated, just massive amounts of fluid loss through diarrhea and electrolyte loss. And the difference between the mothers who used an ORS, an oral rehydration solution, who were able to get it into their little children, and the moms who weren't, they would use sports drinks or juices, was amazing. Basically, almost all the kids that were using sports drinks and juices died. And the moms who were using ORS, they lived. Yeah.
They live. So it is a life and death issue, and I have felt that it was always. And I unfortunately, we're always out of time. I wish we had a three-hour show, but we're speaking with Dr. Dolan. I want every one of you to think about Drip Drop. It's an easy thing to do. You can get it anywhere. And that will help you do what I'm going to tell you to do, which is get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay, that was really, really good. I mean, this is, as I say, is something very personal to me. And I hope that people will listen, because if they haven't felt what I felt, they may not think this is the most important thing. But for me, it was extremely important. So thank you
How did you first find Drip Drop, ma'am?
They found me because, I don't know, do you have a PR group or that works with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that they most likely found our show and sent a something to our producer, who said, "Hey, you know, this should be good for you, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was. And I said, "All right, let's do it, because this is an amazing problem, you know, for people who look." A doctor, I go to Broadway shows, and I have passed out in Broadway shows, so you don't have to be.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So I went from place to, what's wrong with me? A heart attack? No. And by the way, when you pass out in a Broadway show, they take you to a local hospital and they give you an IV.
Yep.
And that IV is in the ambulance. And in
yep.
2 seconds, you feel great.
Yep.
But they don't let you go. They make you go to the, make you stay in the hospital for 6 hours.
Yep.
Trying to figure out what's wrong with you. Well, this went on not once, but for, I would say, about 2 years. And nobody could tell me what was going on. And somebody, I'll tell you where you'd be interested, said what it was. And that was in Bamrumgrat, which is in Bangkok. And it's a medical tourism place. And they knew. And that's when I started my journey for looking for different ways. I started with just a plain salt pill. And it was horrible, you're right. But you can blame or thank your representatives for letting us know that they were here. So and it's a great product.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Well, you've made my day, and I mean my life's journey is really to save lives and help people feel better, you know, avoid the drama of having to go to an emergency room just to get salt and water, to be honest.
Look, I could write the foreword to your book. One of the times, I really was courting a business person, so you can imagine passing out in front of in a meeting like that. But I was very hot. I was very dressed up. I was running in high heels. They say running in heels. I had a drink. That was another beauty. And, of course, I didn't eat, right? And we were going to our fancy benefit, and I checked out, and they're dragging me through. And the next thing I knew, I was in some hospital, and also very scared.
Yeah.
But so this is great. So how's it going? Is the product going well?
Yeah, it's as you said, you know, we're in Walgreens, and we're growing, and we have some wonderful leadership, and you know, I go around
great.
The world. Every year, and we save lives with it. So it's I feel blessed. I feel really blessed.
Well, you're helping a lot, and I thank you so much. Now I
thank you.
I guess we can both hang up now, right? Yeah, we're good. We can hang up. We'll have a great show.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Bye. Bye. Bye.